Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
124.
Nice. if you have any comments, questions, concerns, please send us a DM at Modern Yogi Podcast on Instagram.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
And what's interesting is that sometimes we go through the DMs and like there's questions that come up. And so this is a fun way to interact with us because, you know, sometimes we don't always have all of the answers. But if you want any clarification on anything that is said, any questions in general, that is a great place to come in contact with us.
Totally.
And you might even get a voice note back.
Yeah. We just did that recently. We were recording and we saw a good question. We all chimed in with some voice notes.
Yeah.
Super fun.
All right. We are on chapter 16, The Divine and Demoniac Natures, and text number 5. But a quick recap of what we went through last episode.
Yeah. We finalized text 1 through 3.
Yes.
Krishna talks about all the positive qualities that someone has when they have divine nature. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you, this whole text is the divine versus the demoniac natures, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we took 3 texts to talk about the divine, and now we're starting on the demoniac. I feel like I'm saying that weird.
Yes, you are saying it weird, and it's been irritating me every single time.
Why would you not tell me?
But I don't know if it's like a Venezuelan. I don't want to be racist and like be like, oh, you're saying it wrong.
No, just tell me.
No, but I just didn't know if that was... Okay, it's called a demoniac.
What did I say?
Demoniac?
Sorry, guys.
But that's okay.
Wait,
it's
I don't think I can say it right, so I'm just going to point at you every time, okay?
So on brand, okay.
So basically, now that we did text 4, we started talking about the...
Demoniac.
Oh, that's karma. That's karma.
It's just like Monica, demoniac.
Demoniac.
There you go. Hey, hi-o. There you go.
I don't know what I did right, but we'll go with that.
No, she's from the heavenly planets in her past life, so she can't even pronounce demoniac. She's like, what is that? I never even heard of that. That's crazy.
That's hilarious.
That was really funny.
That's a great joke. Oh my gosh. Anyways, text 4, we finally got into some of those qualities and it was so fascinating. We read the purport and Prabhupada was like, look, these people don't look like you expect them to look. They're sometimes wealthy. They're very highly educated. Mm. They just sort of reject, you know, they favor making a show out of religion and advancement in spiritual science. Like a very, very interesting purport. And we're about to dive deeper into that in text 5. Yeah. And I think that's a pretty good short recap.
Yeah. Arjuna's like in the boxing ring and Krishna's kind of trying to amp him up. This is what they look like. This is what they act like.
Go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them, tiger.
Go get these demons.
All right. Please. The invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. Chapter 16, text number 5. Priyadarshini.
The transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac. Oh, God. Okay. Whereas the demoniac.
Yes!
I follow your Monica. I don't even know what I thought of. Anyways, qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with the divine qualities. You see, you are born, like Krishna's been kind of saying, like you kind of are born one way or the other.
I don't know if
you can transform.
I think you can, right?
Yeah. It's like nature, like what you said before, nature versus nurture.
However, as we've like, this is what Satyuga or what yuga is this they're fighting
that's
in, right?
That's a great question for and our producer.
Right? And I think that as we go on with time right now, we're in Kali Yuga and I don't think that it's so black and white that children are born with divine qualities demoniac qualities, right? I think we all kind of have a little blend, a little salt and pepper type of qualities of
salt
both.
And pepper.
Well, it's like Radhana Swami said, we all have the light dog and the black dog.
Yes.
And it depend, we're going to have to sometimes feed both. And we just hope that over time, the dog of light gains strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we do have both, right? Divine and demoniac. And I think that the whole purpose of this chapter is to cultivate more of the good.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. I was just like curious about the wording because I've seen it twice, but I don't think it necessarily means you're born this way and there's nothing you can do about it. Definitely not.
Arjuna definitely was born this way. So he was born with the good stuff, right?
Divine qualities. Yes.
Yes. Perfect. Yes.
Yes. I mean, he was, you know, his whole story of how he was born was very unique also.
Mm.
He's
going
like,
to
no.
Okay. Hard pass.
No, not like that, but just like he's born, like he's the son of a demigod and like it was relatable. A very auspicious situation. So anyways.
Right, right.
Good
right.
times.
If you want to hear more, the whole story of the Mahabharata, it's interesting. You can either hear it on Audible or read it. It just tells you more context of the Bhagavad Gita.
What's the one on Audible? Because you gave me a great recommendation and it
Priya gave it to me, I agree with you.
Never mind. Priya gave it to you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's by Krishna Dharma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember.
Awesome version.
You can just put Mahabharat, but he does have his own little titles for them, which is really sweet. But you just put Mahabharat on Audible and it's awesome. It's in story form. So it's not like text and purport and all of that. It's just like the whole story. And you get to learn more about Arjuna and his brothers.
Yes, it is phenomenal for someone who finds reading very hard and like all of this language very difficult sometimes. That version of the Mahabharat was transformational. Like I finally understood who all the characters were. And then the Bhagavad Gita is part of the Mahabharat. But like understanding the backstory, the prequel, right? That's what I can say. It's so amazing.
Because, you know, sometimes if you wait to just read it, people get home from work, they cook dinner, if they sit to read at night, they're falling asleep. It's it hits differently. There was a comedian, I think Kevin Wang, he did a whole little bit on reading. He's like, New York Times recommended 70 books to read over the summer. And he's like, they do not know me at all. I might read one book. I might read this email. I can't read. As an adult, I enter a library and think all the things I'll never know.
That's pretty funny.
That's so real.
Oh my God. Good memory to recall exactly like how he said it. That was funny.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right.
So this verse is basically saying transcendental qualities will give you liberation. Demoniac qualities will keep you in this cycle of birth and death and birth and death and birth and death.
Yes, but we said we wanted to read the purport again.
Let's short do enough. It.
So, Priya, take it away.
Okay. Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities.
His involvement in the fight was not demoniac because he was considering the pros and cons.
He was considering whether respectable persons such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not. So he was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige, or harshness.
Ooh.
That's really good. Should we pause there a second?
Yeah.
Right.
Like they're saying like, oh, you use logic. It wasn't like, you've done wrong to me, so I'm going to kill you.
Right. Exactly. And that goes back to things we've talked about way in the beginning about putting a little pause between the stimulus and the response so you have time to think and to act from a place of motive goodness.
But I also feel like he never had the anger.
Right, right.
Like that's what Krishna's saying. Like you were born with all these wonderful qualities. You never even consider, I'm going to kill them because I'm upset. Right? Whereas Duryodhana,
he
was so led by anger, jealousy, and all of these other qualities. That was like his primary source of fuel for all of this, right? So
Arjuna was never angry. I think he was more disappointed, which is probably worse.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Priya? Okay. Shama?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's me. Yeah. He was considering... Nope. That was
therefore.
Therefore, he was not of the quality of the demons.
For a Kshatriya, a military man, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac.
Whoa.
Hi-o.
You know, that might sound heavy, but remember, Arjuna and the Pandavas went through all of such great length to avoid this battle, you know? They even accepted going into exile. They did everything, and this is kind of like the last resort. They were men of such nobility and moral character that they wouldn't just shoot arrows at anybody. Not like, this is transcendental, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah, not only that. Not only that, but I think we're talking about like the role of a protector. And in this modern world, we might have a skewed perception of military men or protectors as maybe biased in some ways, right? But in that time, they were following all the principles of religion, right? They were protectors of like that was their role. So they were the ones to enact punishment for someone doing something horrible, right? Yeah. So like if you think about a heinous crime, then, and you think about the person who is like, okay, because you've been this horrible thing, you know, this is your punishment. You're not going to consider them to be a bad person. They're doing their job. Similarly, Arjuna, like using his bow and arrows was like part of his duty for, you know, as a cop, as a you know, judge, as a whatever role. I mean, in this case, military man, but that's just, you know. So I don't think it's meant to be like, oh, that sounds so bad. Like he's going to, it's transcendental. It's just his job. That is his duty.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Shama.
You said heinous. I just thought that was such a funny word.
That was what it was.
I literally, how did you, I bit my tongue, actually. I bit my cheek. To
I
like,
no.
And I just like went, ha ha, in my head.
I felt like I saw the ha ha in your eyes.
What a fun word.
It is.
Okay. Anyways, okay. Continue.
It's your turn, girl.
Okay. Therefore, there was no cause for Arjuna to lament.
Anyone who performs the regulative principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated.
Nice.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right.
Nice. Text 6, Shama Sangita.
All right. Krishna speaking. O son of Pritha, in this world, there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities. Yes, you did. Now hear from me of the demoniac.
Should we dive right into the purport?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities. Oh my God, Prabhupada, are you copy-pasting?
Prabhupada definitely control-pasted, yeah.
That was funny. It was like the same starting sentence as the previous one.
Control-P, yeah.
Okay. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with the divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac.
Really close. Well, you say it however you want to. Okay?
I don't hear it.
It's really cute, though. It's really cute. Don't worry.
The
demoniac.
Demoniac way.
Demoniac way. When you say it properly, it sounds like so hoity-toity. It's like demoniac way. See, I'm saying it like you guys. Fine. Demoniac.
I don't hear the difference.
Okay. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world.
Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulative life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by the authorities.
One should perform duties in the light of authority. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scripture.
This mentality is called divine.
One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scriptures and who acts according to his whims are called demoniac or asuric.
There is no other criterion but obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures.
It is mentioned in Vedic literature that both the demigods and the demons were born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not.
The Prajapati, yeah.
Yeah,
Prajapati. Sorry.
That's okay.
Text?
I say demoniac.
We all make mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Prajapati.
What is Prajapati?
Good question.
I'm just, you know, I'm going to talk about it.
Oh gosh, I had the definition at the tip of my tongue. I want to say Prajapati is like a great learned... like a sannyasi or like an acharya Prajapati.
It's the husband of Praja. Prajapati. I just made that up.
Okay, cool.
Nobody write that down.
The husband
Praja of Prajapati.
Which is for context, it is mentioned in the Vedic scripture that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati.
Oh, it says Prajapati in Sanskrit comes from the word praja, meaning offspring, and pati meaning lord. So like Prajapati translates to lord of all living beings. So like the demons and the...
Krishna.
Wait, yes. Right? It basically means Krishna.
The demigods and the demons both come from Krishna.
Exactly. But the difference is that the demigods follow Vedic injunctions and the demons do not.
Nice. Okay. Prajapati is like another word for Krishna then.
Yes.
Nice.
It is.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. All
right. Text 7, Shamoy.
Okay. Those who are demonic do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Mm. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I highlighted super little here.
Wait, can you read it again?
Yeah. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them.
Mm. I wonder what, like, that sentence, do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Because that sounds like cluelessness to me. It doesn't sound like bad.
No, but I think that is directly related to the last verse. If one is following the Vedic injunctions, then they know what is to be done.
Ooh.
If one is not, then they're obviously not following the rules and regulations of the Vedas.
Okay, right. Shama Sangeeta.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm connecting all the dots.
I'm just a girl.
And you're spot on. Prabhupada says exactly that. Therefore, it's stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them. So they don't want to. They don't know them, but they don't want to know them. Mm. The demons are not clean either internally nor externally. So it's not just like, okay, I'm going to shower, but it's also everything. As far as internal cleanliness, you know, Prabhupada says one should always remember the holy names of God. It cleanses our consciousness. So, yeah.
I love that. There was one demon, Hiranyakashipu, who was actually really learned. He knew all the Vedic scriptures, but he was like, I am God.
He's like, hard pass.
Nothing's.
Nothing.
I will use them to my advantage.
He never absorbed the scriptures.
Yeah, he could parrot them back. Oh my gosh, that was something I was talking about with someone. Like, we talked about this in the podcast.
Yesterday.
Yesterday was a long day.
No, but like, honestly, you're right. Like there's a lot of devotees that can parrot things.
Yeah, even us, like, we can be like, oh, what does the Mahamantra mean? And we're like, do, we know what it means. But like, sometimes it's like, the deeper absorption of it, right?
Right.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Shamali, do you have something else highlighted? Because I do have one more.
Go ahead.
Cool. It says the demons do not accept any instruction which is good for society. And because they do not follow the experience of great sages and the rules and regulations laid down by the sages, the social condition of the demonic people is very miserable.
You nailed the word and the great part to
that. Was wonderful.
I changed the word. I'm not going to say demoniac because I can't say it, but I can say demonic.
There Beautiful. You go. Great loophole.
But anyways, it just also goes to show how people are affected by these demons, right?
Yeah.
It creates a very miserable condition for society and as well as for them.
Okay.
Woo, okay. Text number 8.
Me?
Priyadarshini.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. They say, who's they?
The demons.
Okay, cool.
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's do it. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Oh, my God. Mm.
This purport is so interesting. I mean, I don't know if we want to dive into it all, but it's just very interesting. People who kind of like, don't believe in anything. That could be atheist. Whether they're demons, atheists, or just lost.
Mm. Yeah, because when I first read this, I was like, oh, so is Krishna saying that demons are akin to atheists?
I think we've talked about this before. I think there's different, it's a whole spectrum. There's some people that are just really good people that are lost and seeking something. And Krishna knows their heart. I think demoniac people is something different.
Mm. Okay.
But again, we got to remember that we're talking about qualities rather than just a person.
Yeah. Mm.
So someone can be atheistic and can have that demonic quality and still be a good person because they also have many other divine qualities. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when we say demonic quality, I mean, it's not like they're a demon, like Priya's saying. We might all be dealing with our own quote unquote demonic qualities. That's why we're in this material world. We're working on ourselves.
Yeah, they're just, not great, you know?
Not great, you know. It's not the best situation.
It is not.
The purport starts off with a sentence, the demonic conclude that the world is a phantasmagoria. Mm. And I love that word. Phantasmagoria basically means a sequence of real or imaginary images like those seen in a dream. What happened next was a phantasmagoria of horror and mystery. So
interesting.
Yeah. They do not think that the world was created by God for a certain purpose. They have their own theory that the world has come about its own way and that there is no reason to believe that there is a God behind it. Mm. I think Prabhupada is making a commentary on science a bit.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it.
You know what's so interesting? There's a quote that I pulled up because many scientists are deep spiritualists. And we've talked before about actually how much foundation there is in science to believe in God and a higher power that created the universe. And I want to read to you one quote by the father. He's known as the father of quantum physics, Werner Heisenberg. He was a key figure in development of quantum mechanics and known as the father of quantum physics. And he says, "The first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will turn you into an atheist. But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you."
Say it again.
Oh,
yeah. "The first gulp from the glass of natural sciences will turn you into an atheist." So those who maybe are new and don't really understand it. "But at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you."
Yeah.
So like if you get deeper and deeper into science, you realize that there's got to be some sort of creator.
Exactly. That there's no other way but that for there to be God.
So for so many people who are just whatever, they take science classes in school and they're like, oh, none of that spiritual stuff is real. God doesn't exist. It's just science. I just think how small-minded. If even the father of quantum mechanics believes deeply in God because of his like, and do you think you know science better than some of these super intellectual people who have realized there is a higher power and they can prove it scientifically?
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good way to put it. I also think that this idea that God had no room in science was something that was more adopted back in the day also. I feel like people have opened their minds a little bit more and kind of seen things from a different perspective as we go on. So I think, you know, I mean, Prabhupada didn't say it straight up. He wasn't making a dig necessarily, but it just from the experience of the time, right? That context of...
Right.
That like everything came from nothing is something that was very widely said back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. It's interesting. Prabhupada says, "Although the demons say this life is a dream, they're very expert in enjoying this dream. So instead of acquiring knowledge, they become more and more implicated in their dreamland. They say this world is born without a soul."
Yeah, it says, "For them, it is only a combination of matter that has produced the living entities, and there is no question of the existence of the soul." Mm. So it's just, you know, I mean, Prabhupada is reiterating what Krishna is saying, which is they think this is just not real. Mm-hmm. There's no foundation. There's no God. I'm just meant to be here to, you only live once. Just enjoy as much as possible and acquire as many things, all the things that I desire as much as possible. And then just... Right. That's it. That's what this life is for.
Which is so kind of contradictory because it's like on one hand, they believe that, oh, nothing is real, but they get more and more entangled in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So, I mean, that pretty much covers that idea. What do you guys feel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Text 9, Shama Sangeeta.
All right. Krishna is saying, "Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world."
Oof.
That's a big one.
Oof.
That's a fun one, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. That is intense. Interesting. And you know, Prabhupada in the purport says it even in a lighter way. The materialists who have no concept of God think they're advancing. You know, so it's not just demoniac people, but someone who has no conception of God might think we're advancing, technology is rising. But what are at what cost? What are we losing?
Yeah, he goes on to say such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancements of human civilization. But the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel. Cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings.
What I think about is Oppenheimer when I think about this, right? It's like the craziest... newest brand new technology was used and scientists from around the world were flown to create this atomic bomb. Right. And it was like a scientific marvel. But when you don't know the scriptures and the soul and what we're actually supposed to be doing here, there's literally like, there's no point to all of it. Like that was literally meant to destroy people.
Exactly what you said, Shama. Prabhupada says here, such people are considered the enemies of the world because ultimately they will invent or create something which will bring destruction to all.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Due to godlessness, such weapons are invented in human society. Mm. They're not meant for peace and prosperity of the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like literally what you spoke about. Prabhupada's like, yep.
And I didn't even read this purport.
You know what?
Good job.
Nice.
A little context. This text was spoken by Krishna way before nuclear weapons were created. Mm, and Prabhupada says, indirectly, this verse anticipates the invention of nuclear weapons, of which the whole world is today very proud. And at any moment, war may take place and these atomic weapons may create havoc.
Like, I 100% believe that. 100%. If you look at the political climate right now, like there are so many people that are so close to pulling those buttons they should not be in places of power. So we are actually so close to what Prabhupada is talking about.
Fascinating. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. Text 10. Text Shamali.
Yeah. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent.
Ooh, can you read that?
Yeah, one more time, please, for sure.
Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work and attracted by the impermanent.
Mm.
Wow.
So they're extremely lustful. They are chasing after pride and false prestige.
Material wealth.
And enjoyment. Wealth, power. And they are attracted to the impermanent, obviously, because they don't know. And
about that, being attracted to the impermanent, that always produces anxiety because no amount of impermanent things will ever make you feel whole. So you just keep chasing the mirage.
That's true. Mm. Yeah, this is a really joyful chapter. Like death, destruction. Yeah.
Wow. Another really, really interesting point that Prabhupada puts out here. He says, although such demonic people are most abominable in the world, by artificial means, the world creates a false honor for them.
Mm.
So even though they're so horrible, we honor them. We think, oh, they're so great in this or that way.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how relevant that is to life now?
I can think of politicians that totally exact narrative. Wow.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because Prabhupada says they have no knowledge and cannot tell that they're heading the wrong way. And that sense of direction, that's what the Gita provides. It's a compass, a roadmap to how do we know which way to go? How do we know how to measure progress? And what are we even striving for to be able to tell we're making progress? Mm-hmm. So people who don't have this, you're lost. What way are you headed?
Yeah. I think one thing that is really important for us to remember, it says, Prabhupada says, the demons have no satiation for their lust. And I think we also need to remember that too, as people who are aspiring to become closer to Krishna. And lust can be anything, like more material goods, like a higher position at work, like all of these things can have us hankering for more and for more. But I think to dive deeper and to know that, like, okay, none of these things will satisfy me besides my relationship with Krishna is the most important goal of our life.
Oh, yeah. And to be mindful that when you're feeling like your desire for things is never ending, like, right, that insatiable lust.
Right.
And when we're feeling like so proudful of the things we're accomplishing, and when these signs are coming up, you're like, oh, these are not good qualities that I'm harboring in me, right? Let me reassess. Let me reconnect. Let me figure out what Krishna is trying to tell me, like what I need to do and where I need to go.
Yeah. And I think, just a small thing on that. I think just harping in on, I know we mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but like being self-aware to understand the root of that lust, right? Whether it is love, admiration, respect, like really like being self-aware, whether it's therapy or breathing or whatever, to understand what that root is so that we can be better partners in our relationship with Krishna, really solving our own issues and healing what we need to heal so that that lust can be totally like just what's the word? It's extinguished, right?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Wow. I love that. You know, there's someone told me this quote just last week, and to me it captures the whole people are insatiable and that chasing the illusion. They said, blossom where you are planted. And I loved that because we've been given what we need in this life by Krishna. and we're just seeking things outside ourselves. Mm. And that leaves us empty because that's not ours to have. We're chasing it. But if you focus on what have I been given? What qualities do I have? Mm. Who are the people that surround me? And make the most of that and mm-hmm. water that, nurture that, and grow in that.
Mm. Totally. Wow. Yeah. Wow, nice. Let's keep going.
Okay. There's a lot of gems to pull from this very, very dark chapter.
Yeah. Okay, text 12, Shamli.
Yeah. It's 11:12.
Yeah, oh, sorry, 11:12.
They believe, they, the insatiable demons.
Yes. Oh, yeah, those guys. Yeah, those guys.
They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification.
Ooh, one more time, please.
Wow. Before I read this, can I say one thing to give context to this? Yep. That, you know, I'm about to read it again, but when Krishna outlines the demonic mentality in specifically texts 11 to 13, one commentator said it's a striking resemblance to Duryodhan's mentality of constantly scheming for wealth, eagerness to kill rivals, this devilish pride to succeed in one's murderous machinations. So in a way, Krishna's calling again onto Arjuna of like, this is who you're up against. Remember, this is on the other side. So he says, they believe that, and I wonder if Krishna was pointing to the other side. Anyway.
I think so. I'd like probably to visualize that. Yeah. Yeah.
They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification.
Wow. Oof. Ooh. I feel, I don't know, this is oof, oof, but I feel like a lot of people fall into on this category right now, maybe aside from the illegal money for sense gratification such part, but even that is also something that you very much see in society nowadays. Like it's people that you, every time I think about demonic nature and people with demonic nature, I always think of like the worst, but the reality is that it's scalable. Like you can have some of these and not all of these. And this idea that like, oh, they believe that, you know, to the prime necessity, the main thing that we have to do is enjoy. A lot of people think that.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of people think that this life is for me to enjoy, to get the most out of it. I got to try everything, right? Have every experience.
Right.
You know? And then it says, thus, until the end of their life, anxiety is unmeasurable. What are we dealing with most in this society now? Anxiety. Everyone's so anxious. Yeah. There's so much like what I want to achieve, but I don't know how, like all of that, all of these feelings and all of this anxiety happening. And I'm just thinking, I don't know. It's describing normal-ish people. And yes, that's a scary thought to think about.
I was literally going to talk about that. Like there's millions upon millions, if not billions of people that have some sort of anxiety, right? And Krishna is literally directly tying it to this sense of gratification, right? If we're constantly trying to be better and like do things and do all the things that we want to do and get the next goalpost and the next goalpost. Like that is a life of constant anxiety because you are never satisfied.
Yeah. Like you're setting yourself up for failure with that paradigm, with that way of viewing life's goal, because we're not gonna be totally happy just from enjoying the senses. So then you're chasing something that's not attainable anyway. You're setting yourself up for failure.
But they don't know that.
Exactly. They don't know that
because they are thinking like, all I do is suffer. I just got to enjoy, right? Like I got to do the opposite. Gosh, why is life so hard? Let me just do the things that give me happiness, right?
Yeah.
And those things are like so temporary, not really understanding the fundamental, like deepest happiness is to understand our real position.
Yeah. Oof. And that's why devotees, people who know this philosophy, have such compassion, because most people just don't know. And that's why we come into contact with this gem and we want to try to give it to as many people as possible. I mean, that's even the motivation for this podcast. Like if we all just sat alone at home with this philosophy and did nothing about it, that's not very great either. So you try to spread it. And yeah, because it's true. Most people aren't demons. It's just normal people who don't know.
Yeah.
Or or have a hard time remembering because of how hard Maya is working at us, right?
Exactly.
Maya That's also true.
She doesn't take a day off.
Because, because, I mean, all of us in here have struggled with one or two or whatever of these demonic qualities at one point or another. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that we're demonic. It just means that we're struggling with the same thing. Everyone's struggling.
Oh, didn't we say at the beginning we're in the group of people who are like, when the fallible infallible? No, Priya, you forgot. We're in the group that don't make mistakes.
We don't make mistakes at all. Yeah.
What's interesting is like Christian literally says bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires.
Wow.
Right?
What a visual.
And absorbed in lust. And like there are so many desires that we have, even on a subconscious level.
Oh, wow.
Like scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, like there's little things that come up here and there. Like, oh, I wish I was on vacation like this person. I wish I was hanging out with this person like this person. Mm-hmm. Like there's so like literally hundreds of thousands is accurate because the amount of thoughts and the amount of desires that come through our mind consciously or unconsciously every single day is literally hundreds and thousands.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, this is so fascinating. Let's keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada paints this visual of like people who live in this way, their plans for life are never finished. They go on preparing and preparing. And even when they are on their deathbed, they're trying to prolong and extend their life. And that's such an image of anxiety versus a saintly person who just, you know what, this is my time. Okay, Krishna's coming for me. And they just from such a peaceful place rather than a fear-based perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else before we move on to text 13-15, which doesn't have a port? Amazing. Oh, man, I got too excited about that out loud.
That's
I just heard myself. Okay. Priyadarshini?
Okay. I was pointing at Shama Samhita. She missed her cue.
The demoniac.
Just kidding. Let's do that again. The
demoniac
person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocrat relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such a person's are deluded by ignorance.
Oh, wow. Mm. I can think of a couple of people right now that's literally...
That's like their morning coffee thought.
Yeah. Like a direct quote.
I am, but like their script. I am so wealthy. Who will I kill today?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow. That was crazy. Like Krishna's like, listen, this is what they sound like. This is what they say.
Yeah.
That's such a detailed thing to say from Krishna. Whew.
Yeah.
This is how they think.
Like the inner thoughts of a demoniac person.
They have no awareness.
Yeah.
No awareness. You know, at the end of the other purport, which can connect to this one, there's just a snippet that says in the Upanishads, it shows that there's two birds sitting in one tree. One is acting and enjoying or suffering the fruits of their branches, while the other bird is just witnessing everything, you know? But one who doesn't have this knowledge has no idea that we have another spark in our body witnessing everything, you know?
I know what you're saying. Like some people say like, well, this is just for me to enjoy. I got to do, who's going to judge me? What am I going to, like, who cares? Like this is my life and I get to choose.
Exactly.
And then they're not realizing that Krishna inside them is going, well, it's not a good choice. Yeah. You know, I love you. How about, you know?
Because that voice is like quietly whispering, but our mind screams at us and we have to control the mind. Yeah. The Gita just explains all the steps to be able to even hear that quiet whisper of the super soul.
I'm still fascinated by the thought process of a demon. He sounds very
And what's crazy is like there's no purport to this this text, and Krishna is literally saying, here is how a demon thinks. Boom.
That's it.
And then Prabhupada's like, mic drop. I don't need to explain this any further. Krishna literally said, here are the innermost, like, what are those intrusive thoughts?
Intrusive thoughts
of a demon.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because one of the lines, at least out of context, sounds like a mantra that people can say nowadays in new agey philosophies to feel better. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am perfect, powerful, and happy.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. That's so real.
Wow. Fascinating. Woo. Okay.
Okay.
Text 16, Shama Sankita.
So prepared for this purport.
Krishna says, Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell.
Wow. There's so many networks that we're navigating.
Network of desires, network of illusions.
Well, they're just saying it's all connected. Right? Like all of these desires tie us down to all of these belief systems we have. So like, oh my God, I have all this money and I'm going to get so much more money. And with this money, I'm going to use it for this. And then it becomes in this illusion. I'm going to be the greatest of all the richest men or the richest women. So like from the desires comes the illusion and it's all kind of interconnected, right? And and it gets to a point where you've gone so far, right? You've gone so far that there's no other way but to go down to hell.
Totally.
Which is wild.
Exactly what you just said, Priya, is the cycle. Prabhupada said this people in this position think how much assessment we have now. Okay, what can I scheme to engage the stocks of wealth further and further and further? And there's no point, like, because once you reach that level of wealth, what's the cutoff? When are you happy? At what point have you said enough? This is good enough.
There's Prabhupada says a demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. According to the law of karma, a man takes birth in a high family or becomes rich or well-educated or very beautiful because of good work in the past. And the demoniac think that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability.
Oh, wow.
It's wild.
Yeah, like I did this. I got myself here. Yeah. There's just, you know, like my hard work and my this and that.
And, you know, we don't think of that as a demoniac quality per se, but it really is. And it's a sliding scale. I think you had you used a word, Priya, that I liked it earlier. But yeah, it's
on the spectrum.
It's on the spectrum. Mm. So you can have people that are totally like, they embody this to the most degree, but can we subtly see this in all of us, this tendency of like, oh no, I did this. This was me. I didn't have any help. This was my idea, my thought. Like we need to like see the subtle elements of this, you know, because it can exist subtly within a lot of us.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, another part that I love is generally a demoniac person thinks of himself as the supreme God. And a demoniac preacher tells his followers, why are you seeking God elsewhere? You are all yourselves God. Whatever you like, you can do. Don't believe in God, throw away God. God is dead. These are the demoniac's preachings.
Crazy.
And I think we've heard, you know, people carry signs of this stuff on like the street corners sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one I liked was right before that one. It said each demonic person thinks that he can live at the sacrifice of all others. Oh, and that sadly sounds like CEO stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know, I can live off the wealth of the sacrifice of others. And this is what I've achieved. And this is all the money I make. And this is all the money I will continue to make. And I am the wealthiest. I'm the happiest. I'm the, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Oof. I'm not saying all, you know, but it's so fascinating how a scripture that is so old can be describing something that is happening to us
right now,
but also that's something that happened to people back then too, like, you know, for the last many thousands of years.
It's like Krishna, fascinating. It's like Krishna's God or something.
It's like he's perfect, you know.
It's like he knows past, present, future. That's so crazy.
You know, the ending is interesting because Prabhupada says demons think that they will manufacture their own process and way through machinery by which they can reach higher planets. And the best example of such a demon was Ravana, who we could get into the story, but point is he tried to offer people a way to prepare a staircase so that anyone could reach the heavenly planets without doing the internal work. And similarly, Prabhupada says, it gives a more present day example. In the present age, such demonic men are striving to reach higher planetary systems by mechanical arrangements. These are examples of bewilderment because without their knowledge, they're gliding towards hell. Oof, like fish caught in a net, they have no way to come out.
Wow.
Oof, wow. Now, I know that wasn't the most like uplifting chapter, but I think this is a very important chapter to go through and try to cultivate as many good qualities and less demoniac qualities as we can as we're going through this, as you're listening through this. Do an internal checklist.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the time we have today, folks. We are going to continue on chapter 16, text number 17.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.